Thank you. Item number 14.
Item number 14 from the Director, Department of Administrative Services, requesting a waiver of Milwaukee County General Ordinance 56.30 and authorization for payments in the amount of $24,091.16 to Dr. Ruben Anthony for professional services performed without a formal contract.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, thanks so much. I seek your approval for payment. An outstanding payment to Dr. Anthony for services that he provided to us between July 29th and September 12th. During that period of time, we were working with Dr. Anthony and coming up with a professional services agreement, which was executed on or about September 12th. So we're just asking for your approval to pay $24,000 and some odd cents that is due during that period of time.
And briefly, Director Tyler, for those who are watching, could you briefly explain why the payment is forthcoming now as opposed to the past? Just for those who are watching.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Supervisors, more than happy to do so. What we wanted to do is make sure that we were very responsive in getting leadership into that division, CBDP. And for us to be able to do that, we brought on Dr. Anthony while we were simultaneously working on a professional services agreement. A combination of courthouse fire, summer vacations, lengthened the timeline in terms of getting that professional services agreement in place, and Dr. Anthony was comfortable working during that period without a contract.
Thank you. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was a really interesting item to read last night. Can you tell me the terms of the contract, the wage rate and hours contained here? Because if I don't want to put my math out there, but my math, if I'm right, it's outrageous.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I believe I can certainly make the contract available if you don't have a copy of it. The contract is a professional services agreement. And it stipulates that it will not exceed $45,000 and will go through no later than December 31st, 2013. The hourly rate is $125 per hour. So the billable time, again, his effort in the beginning of the project was front-end loaded, wanting to make sure that he got up to speed quickly and made sure everything was working right within that division.
Trying to do my math. What we're talking about is a $24,000 invoice for 6 weeks of work. If annualized, it would be $216,000 a year. Now, you said it was front-end loaded, so clearly six-month contract for $45,000, but in the first 6 weeks we managed to work $25,000 of it. So I presume it tapered off substantially. But, I mean, there's a reason why the ordinance requires a contract to be in place when it's more than $2,000, that it be in writing. And that we're not obligated to pay it. And quite frankly, I think it's ridiculous that the department would bring someone on and take 6 weeks to get a contract in place. It just simply should not take that long. Perhaps you weren't prepared and should not have made the transition hastily. And I guess I don't know why I would vote retroactively on a contract. It's not even attached to the resolution. I mean, it seems like it's the kind of thing that quite frankly, we never would have seen. It's the kind of thing that now, with Act 14, we'll see less of. You'll have fewer contracts that you'll bring. This never would have come before us, but for the fact that you guys took 6 weeks and now can't pay him. I think it's outrageous. I think the public should be outraged by it, and I'm not interested in it. I think you guys should go back and settle for something more reasonable. I guess he can blame the administration for working without a contract, or he can blame himself for working without a contract. But I just don't find it palatable.
Supervisor Roma West is here.
Thank you very much. I echo the sentiments of my colleague. I think this is disgusting. What I don't understand is that clearly you had a person in this position, and then you brought in a new person to do the same duties. So why was that person not just plugged into the pay range of the person who previously had the job? The other thing I don't understand is that you had someone in that position that was doing a full-time job, and in my opinion was doing a very good job, and then you bring someone in and you contract with them to work 10 hours a week to fill in a full-time position. And, you know, the person who had just been in that position had just gotten Milwaukee County through some difficult paperwork and surveys and, you know, and other things. And, you know, I'm just it perplexes me. It perplexes me that that person, obviously, and that's a personnel matter, and I know you're not going to discuss it, and that's just fine. But I am perplexed by that. I'm perplexed by the fact that we took somebody who, by I believe everyone's standards, was doing an awesome job and replaced them with somebody who, in his defense, I don't know him. I don't know the work that he does. And so he may be just as awesome. But the fact that now we're being asked to foot this huge bill for work that's being done 10 hours a week when we had someone who was not being paid an exorbitant amount and worked full time, it's troublesome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Stapp.
Thank you. According to the review, you fired the former CBDP director and hired the new intern director on the same day, correct?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I didn't say anything about firing the current director. But the individual, Dr. Anthony, started, I don't recall whether it was Friday or Monday, but it was Monday, I believe, following.
Excuse me, it says departed. Was he fired or did he just leave?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I just really, for the benefit of the individual and the benefit of confidentiality for personnel reasons, I really don't want to comment on that.
Okay, but it was the same day, right?
It was roughly the same day.
Okay. What was the understanding between the administration and the oncoming director with no contract, and also has he been paid anything thus far?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, as it relates to payments, once the professional services agreement was signed by all of the parties that needed to get have it signed, from that point forward, he was able to invoice and get paid on the work that he has done between September 12th and the time of invoice. So there's been payment during that period of time.
And how much was that?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I'm sorry I don't have that information with me right now, but I believe there's been a payment of about $6,500.
Okay. You've been paid 65, and it's only been since September 12th to now.
The payment for $6,500 was between September 12th and now.
Okay. Now, Mr. Tyler, I didn't hear you say what the understanding was when he came aboard. Did you guys had a meeting, or you said we're going to get the contract done later, or what happened?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, so the expectation was is that we would work on a professional services agreement. And this is something that I take complete responsibility for and would hope that you would consider that. I think neither of us realized that it would take this long to put together a professional services agreement. It was less about the negotiation, more about a combination of activities around the courthouse fire and vacations, and quite honestly, my navigating through a process that I wasn't fully aware of as a relatively new staff member. So I take full responsibility of the delay, and I would hope that you would recognize that when you consider this for approval.
Okay. Just from my own knowledge, if this is not approved, what will happen? He doesn't get paid? Who suffers?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, he does not get paid for the services that he has rendered.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Bowen. Thank you, Supervisor Stanton. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some questions about this item as well. Whose decision was it to contract for this position?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, that was my decision.
Mm-hmm. And what was the cost taken into account when you made the decision of actually putting somebody interim in the position instead of a contract with Dr. Anthony's firm?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, yes, he's in essence an independent contractor paid through his firm, so we're not paying any benefits. He's not an employee, and that's one of the reasons that drives the rate, and I think that's what you're perhaps getting to. We had negotiated that rate, and it's better than what he had originally wanted. As an independent contractor. So this was the best vehicle as an independent contractor. He had no interest in, and frankly, I don't think we would want him. I mean, he'd be a great candidate, but he had no interest in being a candidate for this job. So this structure was the best structure versus being an employee or what have you.
And the individuals in that department, it wasn't accounted for placing one of them into the interim position as well?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, it was considered, but determined that it would probably be best to bring in Dr. Anthony, given his breadth and depth of experience in this business. Because I think one of the things we wanted to do was step back a little bit and have someone help us through an assessment of, what we're doing, how we're doing, and how it's staffed. So Dr. Anthony brings that to bear, whereas a staff member perhaps could not have done that.
Okay, because every
it's not just
that I've seen where if somebody leaves abruptly, usually there's a fairly quick placement
plan,
of somebody
right.
from that department,
especially
as
you're
interim.
Getting rid of that person.
And it's just odd that that didn't happen here. I also have questions about what was this, a verbal agreement with Dr. Anthony that he would take over this department and his firm since there was no contract?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, it was an agreement that we were working on, and I think Dr. Anthony probably had an understanding of some level of risk associated with that without having contract, but he certainly wanted to also accommodate our desire and our need to get someone, as you, all of you have suggested to me, that how critical it is to have someone in a leadership role. I think he understood that, and I understood that, And again, it was my sense is that we were going to be able to get this professional services agreement in place pretty quickly, was unable to do that.
Supervisor, I will interject that I believe part of what happened was a professional services contract was created, but it was found to be defective. Defective, that there was something wrong with the contract. It's my understanding, because it sounds as if we're just kind of taking stuff out of the air, and you know, they talked and they agreed and you're hired and then go forward. But if there was an attempt to create a professional contract, but there was something defective about it. I believe eventually, and was a corporation? Wasn't there something involving Corporation Council? I believe that needs to be brought forward, because otherwise it's not. There was just a handshake agreement, and we in the public sector don't do things that way. Mm-hmm. But
thank you, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. Again, that's why I take full responsibility for this delay. It was my understanding, and I received feedback to this direction that there's two different types of agreements. There's personal services agreements and professional services agreements. So we had moved forward with a personal services agreement with the understanding, my understanding, again, I take full responsibility for this, my understanding that a personal services agreement would be the best approach to take, only to find when we were going through the approval process that, in fact, this type of contract requires a professional services agreement. So Dr. Ruben Anthony was acting, obviously, in good faith, understanding that the type of agreement that he was willing to commit to was a personal services agreement based on the information that I was providing to him. Turns out we needed a professional services agreement. Professional services agreement, rightly so, requires certain insurance provisions and so forth.
Okay. One last question.
Go ahead, Supervisor Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to be very clear in my question about the last director and around the parameters that you can discuss. Was the basis of the former director being taken out that position so immediate that you needed to remove him that day? And was Dr. Anthony's firm already in mind at the time of that decision?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, that was one of the considerations, yes. In anticipation, I think that was one of the things, and then again, the former director and I, we had ongoing weekly meetings, and I was unsure what his desire was to stay on. And it was just prudent for me to understand what the possibilities might be and take action accordingly. So, yes, Dr. Anthony and I had conversations prior to July 29th. Important recognizing that the director might have chosen to go a different path as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Lipscomb, then Stamper.
Mr. Chair, I'd move denial. I don't think we're getting the whole story. I don't think we're getting it straight. I mean, the facts are this. Previous director was also here under a contract, so the template existed. That contract had been overseen by DAS and Corp Counsel and risk management and whatever the three signatures are that you needed, you'd already had it. That process had just taken place months before, so the template existed. All you had to do was change the name, the hourly rate, the hours or the scope or something, but all of the contractual obligations and requirements had already just been done. There's no big mystery to this. If I just don't buy it that it takes 6 weeks. more than that, I'm not going to cry about the fact that, you know, even if he doesn't get this $24,000, if he gets paid on the remainder of the contract, he's still almost $60 an hour, still, I believe, substantially higher than what the previous director was being paid. And I wouldn't doubt that the administration is expecting to extend that contract at the lucrative, you know, rate of $125,000, because we're going to approach the end of December, and the director already said he was expecting to stay on in some role during budget deliberations. So, I mean, and we can't stop that. You're going to pay him what you think. Now, thank God, they haven't filled all of their vacant director positions at $125 an hour. No way. I would move to now.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason I passed the gavel is I sincerely understand Supervisor Lipscomb's sentiment, particularly when there was an incumbent in place and there was a change made by the administration. I really understand that. But on the other hand, the man has been paid $6,500. The director, Tyler, has already indicated that what he thought could happen was a personal services contract could be used as opposed to a professional services contract, and he takes full responsibility for that. But on the other hand, Dr. Anthony is not being paid. Now, I've known Dr. Anthony for a good number of years, and I'm not speaking for him by doing this, but I'm looking at the fact that maybe there can be an adjustment with respect, although there was a personal services contract that turned out to be effective, and a professional services contract through our ordinances would be appropriate. That part I understand. If there's a will to make an adjustment somehow, then that could happen. But I feel for the fact that the man has been paid only the $6,500, and we also, when it comes to getting people, highly qualified people to do work here with Milwaukee County, whether it's on a contractual basis or whether it's as a county employee, I'm just really concerned about the fact that this is happening the way it is, because again, the first contract wasn't the first type of contract wasn't the way to go, and maybe, as I said, an adjustment can be made, but I believe that the man should be paid the money for the services rendered. Mr. Chairman, that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Supervisor Lipscomb. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we need to be very clear on what's happening here. I mean, any time the county is doing business with contractors, firms, there are contracts in place. And this is no shot at Dr. Anthony and his firm, which I think is a very credible firm that has been doing work, and he's worked in the Doyle administration. I've heard nothing but good things about his work in the community.
Yes.
Why all of a sudden that we don't have contracts with firms all of a sudden, and we're acting brand new as if this is not how business works? And I think we need to be very clear that this is not how business is done in Milwaukee County. And when you want to change the process so you don't have to go through the board, you don't have to have oversight, and this all goes back to Act 14 type stuff, and then things come to the light. But then again, the county never has money, and the county never has money for a number of different things that we need. But, you know, these and looking at these numbers, I mean, we had a person in that position. He basically took the position and made it a private job. And it was already deemed by the board, by the last budget, that this was a public position, and somebody that would be hired by the county. So I guess I understand, yes, you can have consultants, you can have firms, independent firms, do this work, and that's fine, but let's at least have a public process, and this was not public. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Bowen. Mr. Tyler?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I appreciate the feedback that you're providing regarding Dr. Anthony's capabilities, his reputation in the community, and I guess I'm just asking for your consideration relative to him and the services that he has offered to the county at this point. I should also tell you that we continue to seek his replacements, and thanks to Dr. Anthony, we've got some very good candidates. I think I've brought a committee up to date before on this, 6 to 7 candidates that are in the works to replace Dr. Anthony, but that's an important part of the role that he is playing as well, is tapping into his network so we can get a very good individual in place to head up this really important area. I would just hate to be in a position where we are back to where we were and have to start over again. We've got a good pipeline in terms of potential candidates, and I would just really be unfortunate to lose that. And again, I take full responsibility for this. It's not about Dr. Anthony. It's about this getting through the system, a professional services agreement needing to get executed by RISC, by Corp Counsel, by DBE, and others to get this through the system. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tyler. Any other supervisors have a comment? Supervisor Stamper, briefly?
Yes, thank you. I was trying to understand the defective contract. So the first contract you had in place was a personal service contract? Did you actually
Mr.
have
Chair,
that in place?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
When did you have that in place?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, I'd have to go back to my files, but I believe it was within a week. Give me some flexibility there, week to week and a half. And that personal services agreement was something that was referred to me to be able to use, and I found out that it would not be adequate.
Okay, so the first week or two from the start date in July 29th, you had that contract in place.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, that's correct.
Roughly. Okay, until you figured out you needed a new contract. And how long was that personal service contract in place?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, the contract got fully executed on September 12th, so it took that long
between. No, not the correct one, the incorrect one.
The incorrect one, again, when it went through the routing process to get approved, that's when it was identified that it was not the right type of contract, and that was probably somewhere around mid-August.
I'm just trying to figure out, in that six-week period, when did you realize that you needed the right contract? You know, you didn't pay him on the on the incorrect contract, but you realized it. I guess it had to be after he submitted his first invoice?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, no. An invoice had not been submitted at that point. So he began on or about July 29th. We were working very quickly with a personal services agreement, and it was about a week later or thereabouts, and I apologize, I don't have a specific time frame, but it was about a week later when I discovered that this was not the appropriate documentation. So at that point, that's when I began the work on crafting a professional services agreement.
Okay. All right. Had all the parties signed that first contract, the incorrect one?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, regarding the execution of the personal services agreement, I just don't recall, because I think the personal services agreement is between two different parties.
Okay.
And it may have been, I'm just going to say I don't recall. I just don't know whether it was signed.
But people had, but whoever is supposed to did sign the contract.
Mr. Chair,
it may not just be your fault. Who else signed it? Whoever signed it is their fault.
Mr. Chair and supervisors, I'm going to look. I don't know if Corp Counsel is in the back here. I just don't recall the signatures in a personal services agreement, whether it's whether there's Corp Counsel that's required. I just don't recall, who is. Well, there he is.
Okay.
So he can maybe help me navigate through this, because Mr. Grady was actually very helpful in helping me understand that I really screwed up here.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Grady.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. I can't directly answer the question you asked. What I can confirm is that when Mr. Tyler came to me to talk about the contract, I indicated to him that we didn't have the right form and we needed to go with a professional services contract. And so I don't know what was signed before that, but whatever was signed wasn't the appropriate contract. And so Mr. Tyler went about trying to get the correct contract form put together. Ultimately, I did sign that one. That went into effect in September. And, we're in a situation where Mr. Dr. Anthony has performed the services. We have a rule at the county that the comptroller will not pay for services performed prior to an executed contract, so the comptroller can't pay those services. So Mr. Tyler had to come to the committee and to the county board to ask for the payment of the services prior to the start of the contract. There is a risk for the county in not paying, not approving this. Dr. Anthony would have the legal ability to make a claim against us for the services provided, and I don't know whether he would do that. I'm not suggesting that, but I won't get into all the details. He would have the ability to do that. He provided services under the direction of someone with apparent authority to contract for the county, and therefore he likely could recover for services at whatever the reasonable appropriate amount is. And so he may never do that. He may never ask for a nickel if you don't approve it. I don't know. But I'm just telling you that there is a potential for a claim down the road that could be submitted. That's all I'm trying to settle.
Can you present a
I still got the floor.
Yes, sir.
Can you present a claim or a lawsuit without a contract? You decided to perform services without nothing in writing.
Mr. Chairman, the answer to that question is yes. You can enforce an oral contract. If you're a homeowner and you call some contractor up to come do work on your house, you don't sign a contract, he performs the work, you owe for the work. Now, you can argue about how much it was worth, but you owe for whatever the court thinks is the appropriate amount for that service that they performed without a contract, without a written contract. You have an oral contract.
Okay. So you're saying if somebody comes to my house and does some work, I have to pay him?
Well, if you ask them to do that, sure.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
All right. Just to recap, because I don't want anybody to be confused and think that he's only getting paid $6,200. That's what he's collected. Since the contract was properly executed, he collected $6,200 at the rate of $125 an hour. He still has the ability to collect the full $45,000 value of the contract at $125 an hour, which is what he's getting paid when he comes before the committee, as we've seen him. So he's not going to not get paid. He's getting paid today at that rate. If he only worked out the rest of the hours in the contract, he'd be getting paid $58 an hour. If he actually works the full value of the contract, the $45 an hour, and you included the hours that he already worked, his rate would be over $81 an hour. So it's not like he's not getting paid. The question, and that's, I believe, more than double what was being paid to the previous person under a contract, the same type of contract. So I'm not crying over this.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask Supervisor Lipscomb if you have a motion to deny this particular resolution, when would Dr. Anthony be paid?
Supervisor Lipscomb?
He's being paid now at $125 an hour. He has a current contract in place through the end of December, and he can bill for hours at that. According to that math, he's got 360 hours of billable time in a $45,000 contract at $125 an hour. He's billing that now. He can collect the full 45. He's just not collecting on the hours that he worked before he had a contract. But he can still collect the full contract. Plus, quite frankly, given the reduced oversight that the board has, nothing stops the administration from extending his contract up to $100,000 without you ever seeing it again. So you won't know how much he collects unless you go look for it later. It'll never come back to you.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Johnson.
I heard what Supervisor Lipscomb indicated, and I believe the man should be paid something other than $6,500. I heard what you said going forward from a particular date. He's being paid. He's been paid only $6,500. Going forward from whatever that date was to now, Director Tyler. In other words, he's not being paid for his work before, was it September 13th or so?
Yes, and Mr. Chair.
That's what this would address?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, what this addresses his work that he completed between July 29th and September 12th. So these are services that he has rendered yes.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, I would say, I will vote to against the motion to deny. The man needs to be paid. I don't think we should be setting a precedent with respect to having experienced individuals to come to Milwaukee County, whether it be on a contract or as prospective employees, to be subject to not being paid for the services that have already been rendered. And that's my point, Mr. Chairman. So I will vote against the motion.
Thank you, Supervisor Johnson. Supervisor Romo-West, we have not heard from you yet.
Thank you. You actually did, but it was so much earlier that you forgot already.
I just
want to say I'm also worried about setting a bad precedent, but it doesn't have to do with not paying people. It has to do with forging a contract but putting together a contract that may or may not be past the smell test, and then have it not pass the smell test, and put us in a position where basically Corporation Counsel sits at the table and says, you have to vote on this, otherwise we're going to be sued, even though you're putting us in a very bad position. And as one of my colleagues just pointed out, in the next item we're going to be talking about people making $8.75 an hour. And we're being held to the fire now to pay someone $125 an hour to basically provide service that one of my other colleagues very eloquently pointed out could have been provided by the person who was next in line once you chose to get rid of the person who was in that position. I know for a fact the previous director was not making $125 an hour. You've never come to us past budgets and said that you thought that he deserved to make $125 an hour. I don't know what makes somebody worth $125 an hour. I sure would like to find out. I think this is a very bad precedent. Again, it's been pointed out several times. It's not as if Mr. Anthony, and again, this is nothing, and I'm glad that this committee has gone out of its way to recognize the fact this is nothing about Dr. Anthony and what he's providing, and this has absolutely to do with the fact that this contract got muddled, and now, again, the taxpayers in Milwaukee County are going to be left holding the bag, and many taxpayers, a lot of them sitting behind you, can't afford to do that. And so this is completely unacceptable. I don't appreciate being put in this position. And hopefully we'll never have to worry about precedent, because this absolutely will never happen again. It's beyond my comprehension that you have someone in a position and that you know that you are going to get rid of that person. And here's the other part, I'm just going to say it. You know, this board gets, you know, we get scrutinized a lot for personalities, and that's absolutely what this was. There was no need to get rid of the previous director, especially like that. That was a decision that was made because you wanted to. So that's fine. But now to come and to find out that it's going to cost so much money in order for you to have done that, truly to me, is irresponsible.
Thank you, Supervisor Romo-West.
Mr. Chair?
Excuse me, Mr. Tyler. There has been... Supervisor Bowen, this will be the last one, then I want to call the roll.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say this is no different than the situation with the sheriff where he racked up legal costs. The board was upset, and he went back and got those costs adjusted and then came back with a compromise. I would say this is the same thing. We deny this today. The administration goes back to Dr. Anthony, works out something that is less than what we have in front of us because this is ridiculous. We have employees that are making minimum wage that are working through service contracts, and we're saying, you know, we can just dish out the money willy-nilly, and that would set a bad precedent, like my colleagues are saying. So I would agree with that.
Thank you, Supervisor Bowen. I will just briefly state this is the second time in this budget cycle that I have seen these flagrant contradictions with regard to class and wage and everything else come up. This is just the beginning, folks. Madam Chair, would you please call the roll? On the motion, too. Madam Clerk.
Congratulations,
Chair.
Janelle.
Chair.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on the motion to deny?
Supervisors Schmidt.
Aye.
Romo-West.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 1 no. The motion to deny item 14 is approved.